Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Start the show. So, well, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. And, of course, happy Saturday to all of you. Look at this handsome man sitting across from me.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, that's right, guys. It's not Steve.
No, that's what I think they knew when you said handsome.
Yes, exactly. That's right. That's right. It's our good friend, Paul Preston.
Hello.
Yes, from the Movie Guys. He is joining us today.
A whole show for me.
Yeah, as a co-host. And, of course, I am Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Yes, thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to your daily shot, what is it called?
Your Weekly Dose.
Thank you, Your Weekly Dose. This program is about having fun and laughing.
Oh, yes, that's right. Laughing at all the things that we experience in everyday life. You know, the embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, the fun things, even the naughty things.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
That's right. And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you are a part of the show. So join in the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message, Twitter and Instagram, at yourweeklydose1. That's the number one.
Say hello to us on Facebook, at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us, yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That's right. And today we got a pretty cool show. Again, we got Paul Preston sitting in. But we're talking about, unfortunately, the passing of a great songwriter, Tom T. Hall. We'll also be talking about Honey Bee Facts, the best radio moments in history, our favorite moments on the radio that we've heard, and also the shortest men in Hollywood and what's news.
You can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, etc. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world. This music's so dramatic. Tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
Damn right, because Lord knows we need it. And of course, today's theme is Radio Gaga by Queen, one of the greatest songs I think that he ever performed live at Live Aid. I mean, oh, God, that takes me back.
And what a masterstroke for that movie to end at Live Aid
with that.
Bohemian Rhapsody. To end, like, few biopics of musicians end with them at the absolute top of their game.
Right.
You always watch them crumble. And that whole sequence of Live Aid, it's like 15 minutes of the movie,
yeah,
is just insanely good.
And it was so good. So good. So, as always, guys, remember that you can... any of the music that we play here on the show, you can always get it at Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and shop to your heart's delight. And, yeah, check out the best of Queen. They've got two CDs out. Or, hell, just go ahead and buy the whole catalog. Download them all. It's easy. It's that simple.
This album, The Works, is very 80s, but very fun. A lot of good stuff on it. This also has I Want to Break Free.
Yeah.
It's a great song of theirs.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with Queen.
You know what? I didn't realize how big of a Queen fan I was until I went back and looked at their greatest hits, you know, both CDs on that. I'm going, oh, my God, hit after hit after hit. And I think what was really cool about the band is it, yes, Freddie was a big part of it, but they all wrote songs that hit number one or was in the top 10. They all wrote something.
Yeah, and they did that Ringo thing where they let Roger sing every once in a while. I'm in love with my car is Roger, you know, not and they have the greatest vocalist, arguably, in the history of rock and roll, and they still let that guy sing. I mean, it's just cool that they were all sort of amenable to, hey, what idea do you have?
Exactly. And to me, that's the true epitome of a band coming together, I think, overall. But, yeah, I forgot how big of a Queen fan I was growing up with that. I'm going, damn, that is really some, you know, you go back and go, that's some really cool music, you know, and special, you know, for what they were trying to do. And I love the fact that they were trying to evolve every single album
that's
themselves.
Just the word I was going to say. I mean, listen to The Works, compare it to early, like, Keep Yourself Alive. It's, like, totally different.
Yeah.
You know, but they said, hey, let's incorporate that sort of 80s vibe of making it more electronic and see what we can do with it. And, of course, they do something that's way more interesting than most bands did at the time.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing that I think, too, that I like about Queen is the first album doesn't sound like, you know, the most recent album.
Like A Kind of Magic, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, so many bands do that, you know. I mean, you listen to Daughtry, kind of, you know. Yeah, and it's like...
And no one's ever said that. Well, you listen to Daughtry, and I do?
You know, yeah. But, I mean, the first album that he did, I thought it was great. But then the second one is like, what is this, The Leftovers?
Yeah, well, probably.
You know, and then you listen to the third one, is this The Leftovers of that one? You know, and it never progressed into anything different. It never morphed into something else, you know, and that was kind of depressing because I did like Daughtry at the very beginning.
It's funny you should talk about that because Prince, there's a new Prince album, Welcome to America. Now, Prince, of course, one of the greatest ever. And so anything from his vault, I mean, so far, albums like Crystal Ball, The Vault, Come, all these have, like, great lost stuff.
Yeah.
Now, this was an album he recorded in its entirety with the same people. So it was like not just a bunch of songs they put together. It was an album.
Yeah.
And so now it's getting released. And unfortunately, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about the experiment, you talk about evolution.
Yeah.
And that's his, when he really experimented with musical dexterity, like what he could do gymnastically on a guitar with the bass.
Oh, my God.
That was the best. Some of these songs are very simple, but every once in a while, like, there's a song called Check the Record on the new album, and you're just like, oh, you feel like, oh, there's a little bit of the funk in there that he's, like, known for.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's a shame it wasn't all that, but still, if you want Prince at all,
I think
this is what you're going to get.
Yeah,
so
you're going to grab it up no matter
out.
What,
yeah.
and I think really enjoy for what it is, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, but I still wish it was a little more of that kind of crazy, oh, he's unleashed, you know, like a Prince would just, go.
Have you ever seen the video, the video of him where, I forgot where it's at, but it's all these famous people, whatever, and it's a tribute to George Harrison, and they're doing While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Oh, this is at this is one of the greatest videos ever, and it's at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. And they weren't even inducting him, I don't think, or maybe they were, but it was like the jam session that ended the day. Yeah, it's actually George's son.
Right.
Looks just like him.
Yes, he does.
You got Steve Winwood, you got Jeff Lynne, Tom Petty, and then late in the game, Prince comes in to do a solo, and it's the most insane, blow the roof off the joint solo you've ever heard. It's nuts. If you haven't seen this video, you're in the minority, and it's insane, and I've taken over you telling us about it because I'm so excited. That video is everything, man.
It is. It really shows Prince. I mean, the dude played. I mean, he could pick up any instrument, and just go at it.
Yeah,
you know, it's amazing. But for him to pick up the guitar and to fit in into this genre or that genre or whatever, he slid in so easily to each of those with no problem at all whatsoever.
I had the privilege of going to Paisley Park many years ago.
Wow.
A long, long time ago. And, he would open up the place at, like, it's Friday night, pay $7, you know, song was a big hit at the time. So $7, you can come in, hang out, I'll spin tunes, put food out for everybody. Like, what? Okay, I'd happen to be rehearsing for a show in Minneapolis, so I'm like, well, we're going to this. And we went, and sure enough, he's kind of elusive. You can't get at him, but he's spinning tunes, and he's hanging out, but he's food for everybody. And he played a live cover of Fight the Power. Now, this is pre-internet, so like for literally a decade, I'm like, I got to find this cover of Fight the Power. He must have played it live, recorded it, and spun it for us that night. Uh-huh. Now you can go out and find it on the internet, of course. But that was like the lost thing. And talk about just skipping genres. Yeah, why not Public Enemy rap song?
Right.
Killed it. Killed it. You know, this is what he does.
It's such a loss, too, man. I mean,
that's the worst.
I mean, him, Van Halen, you know, just
Freddie.
Anyway, go to Amazon. Buy the music, please.
Yeah, not now. I mean, listen to the show, but then when the show's over.
Or while you're listening to the show, open up another tab.
Both, yeah.
Yeah, you can do it at the same time. Exactly. All right. Well, again, I've got my buddy in here, Paul Preston from The Movie Guys, sitting in for Steve, because Steve is up in Utah right now still.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Where's he at?
I really don't know. I think Salt Lake, probably.
Oh, I'm going there next month. The national park's up there that I haven't hit yet.
Well, he's up there because, unfortunately, one of his nephews, who's around the same age that he is not doing so well.
Uh-oh.
And also, but his one of his granddaughters, I think probably the eldest, was getting married also.
Oh, so everything going on.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. So I said, dude, yeah, take the whole month. Just go, you know. I said, I can hold down the fort, you know. We can do past moments, or I'll get people to come in and guest spot or whatever, what have you, you know. So it's not that big.
Well, then I was happy to fill in. Now I'm proud.
Yes.
For him doing the good family thing.
Yeah.
Going up north.
Yeah, I kind of push him into it a little bit. So, but you know what? Let's catch up with each other, though. So, of course, in the room is my dear friend, our dear friend for the program, Paul Preston, who's part of the program. He does our movie reviews. And I was thinking the other day how we met, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. Here.
Yeah. Well,
more or less.
We brought in a mutual friend of ours, which is Justin, and who you worked on a movie with, basically. And the connection with the movie, why we brought Justin, is because our friend Gino was in the movie.
Correct. And you guys all worked at Disney, and Justin and I worked at Universal.
Right, yes. Yeah, because I worked with Justin at Disney also. Yeah. So, yeah, so just the connection and everything. So it's like, whether or not you wanted to be part of this thing, you had to be part of it anyway.
Well, I hung out that one day and talked all about our short films, and I was like, If you like talking movies, man, I love that. So
yeah, exactly.
I can do this a lot if you want. And then next thing you know, I'm calling in every week, every month.
Yeah.
And next week, if you'll have me, we'll do movies again.
Absolutely,
brother. Seems like the last weekend of every month we do.
Door is always open to you. You know that you're family with us. So
cool. And they don't stop making movies.
So. Thank God. Thank God.
Although, you know.
And we'll talk a little bit about movies today too, though. Yeah. So, but how is your past week like so far, my friend?
Well, talk about things starting up again. I went to the first live music. Like, I saw a bar band recently, but the first real live concert since last year, Valentine's Day, when I saw The Time up in Hollywood. The Black Crowes played the Forum, and just a huge, great show. And I hadn't been to a show since February 14th, 2020. The Black Crows have never played the Forum. This was the first show at the Forum in 500 days. And, wow. It was Shake Your Money Maker in its entirety. That was the tour. And then the hits on top of that. So, yeah, you got every song from Shake Your Money Maker, and then you got Remedy, you got Sting Me, you got Thorn in My Pride. Just a fantastic tour. Was this a little taste of them? Oh, yeah.
So good.
And so great. And, you know, of course, this is also 8 years since the Robinsons played together.
Right.
You know, they're notoriously like the Gallaghers or whatever, the brothers that hate each other.
Oh, big time.
And Chris' voice was on point, dancing around. You know, he owes everything to Mick Jagger, but he still got all the energy to do all those, all those moves and stuff on stage. And Rich seemed to be enjoying himself, which is to say he didn't leave halfway through the show. So, which I think he's done. So, yeah. And I guess the bassist is the original member. Then it's some other guys who brought him. But, man, they had a sick guitar player named Isaiah or something. He was just awesome. And two female singers, keys and drums. They had a bar on stage where sometimes people would just be drinking.
They stole that idea from Bon Jovi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had a bar on in some of the European tours. And one was called the Bada Bing.
Oh, nice.
And they actually served alcohol there too, as well. So
yeah, they had like a jukebox on stage, and some put money.
I stole that from Bon Jovi too.
What, really?
Yes.
Oh, listen, they stole it from Foreigner, who had a 20-foot blow up jukebox for Jukebox Hero when I saw him in 1985. So. But fantastic show, and if I needed to come back to live music, that was a great way to do it. Rock and
roll. Oh, absolutely! It's such a great band. Like I said, we were talking about earlier. To me, this is one of the last great Southern rock bands that made it.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, just the soulfulness and the way Chris sings, the way the guitars come in. You've got a beautiful Hammond B3 on keys, you know, almost on every song and everything. It's just so damn good.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a cover, whether it's an original, it doesn't matter. You know, they're just a great band.
Yeah, and they did close with, speaking of Jagger, It's Only Rock and Roll, but I like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was great.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that was their encore.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love this
song. And I loved it, and this all ties together in that it was so great, I went out and bought Stones tickets. They're coming to the SoFi Stadium October 17th. Or
you're going to love the Stones.
I saw them in 2006. Well, I had tickets in 1989, got cast in a show. Couldn't go, and I said, well, I'll never see them again.
That was a Steel Wheel tour, wasn't it?
It was,
yeah.
Living Color was going to open. Luckily, I eventually saw them, too. But cut to 2006 at the Bowl, I see them. And now it's like, again? Hell yeah, because it was like one of the greatest. The Bowl is such a massive venue.
Yeah.
And that show still felt like it was for me. And so I can't wait to see them again.
I know those feelings. When you go, oh, they're playing my favorite song here.
Yeah.
And then, oh, they're playing my favorite song.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they got my letter. You know, so.
Green Day did that, too. I saw Green Day at the Forum. And they do all the cornball stuff, like, pump your fist in the air.
Yeah.
Give somebody scream. You know, I'm like, okay, I've heard this. But somehow it seems like not hacky. And they have everybody from the people right in front of the stage to the very, very back wall engaged in their show. And so it's rare, you know, that you can do that with a massive stadium show. But I have no doubt Jagger and company will do that at the SoFi.
That's the thing. I mean, I was surprised that I saw the thing about the Stones going out on tour again. And I'm going, good God, when are they going to stop?
I love that. I mean, Clint Eastwood's got a new movie coming up.
Yeah.
It's 91. You know why? Because when you love what you do, why would you retire?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, I know some people just want to screw off and not do anything after a while.
Right.
But I think if you really love it. And Mick Jagger, you know, he had that heart attack or whatever he had, or some kind of open heart surgery. 2 weeks later, there's video of him in the studio
moving,
rehearsing, and then they've been pandemic, and you're like, well, they're done. Nope. Now he's back. It's just crazy. They're endless.
And in joking aside, I remember John Bon Jovi making a quote about that we're all following Jagger and McCartney because they're so going out and performing, they're setting the mark of when we should retire.
Yeah.
You know, they're in their 70s, man, and they're still going. And John's going, dude, I'm just hitting 50. Come on. You know, I've got a knee replacement, an ankle replacement, you know, whatever, what have you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He blew out his knee one time during a show.
Oh, wow.
And the tendons just ripped on him. And so he had to have, like, emergency surgery. And But he goes, you know, he goes, they're still going on, and I'm falling apart, you know. But
I don't want to keep talking about how old I am, but I mentioned seeing
well, we're the same age.
I mentioned seeing Foreigner in 85. That was the first show I ever saw. Jafria opening. The second show I ever saw was Bon Jovi opening for Rat. So somebody didn't know who was going to be lasting the longest here.
Yeah.
But yeah, my buddy Frankie Lindia actually plays for Rat now.
Oh, does he really? Oh,
he's amazing. Yeah.
Now, okay. So, what was your first legitimate concert again?
Foreigner. Yeah.
See, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were great. Back
that
in the
is
day,
totally cool.
Yeah.
Mine was probably what 80? No. Way before that. Probably late 70s, and it was Jose Feliciano at Knott's Berry Farm.
Wow. Oh, I mean, I probably saw, like, the Kingston Trio at something my parents took me to. But, yeah, the one where they're like, okay, I'm buying the ticket, and I'm going to Binghamton to see this show was Foreigner. Yeah,
well, for me, I actually did want to go see Feliciano.
Oh, of course. Yeah. But, you know, I mean,
I mean, come on. No, Chico, I saw Chico him, the man.
I saw him eventually at the in the Bahamas. Long story. But
well, it was funny because the next time I saw him, the first time I saw him, I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. And then, of course, then I become a musician and understand how a guitar works and how you solo on it and everything. So now I'm in my, 30s or 40s, and we go see Feliciano at the OC Fair. And, of course, then he's doing his solo thing, whatever. And I'm going, God, he still has it, you know. Wait a minute. Oh, he's a one-trick pony. He's kind of playing the same solos no matter what song he's doing. It's always the same type of solo. I'm like, oh, man.
Look, B.B. King never knew chords, right? I mean, they got to have their thing.
You know, that's when I knew that I could be pretty good is when I could go up against B.B. King.
Yeah.
You know, take three notes, man, and tell a story with three notes. And I could do that. Absolutely. Yeah. Not a problem at all.
And it should be noted, the third concert I saw was Stryper. And
did you really? You saw yes. Stryper?
Opening for Stryper was one of the most underrated 80s bands of all time called Hurricane. Now, the lead singer of Hurricane, a guy named Kelly Hansen, if I'm right about that,
okay,
is now the lead singer of Foreigner. So there again, it's all full circle. Because Lou Gramm, you know, stopped doing it. And,
right,
and
yeah.
What a hard role to fill. But this guy, Kelly, is just insane. So good. And you got to hit those high notes like him or stay home, you know.
You'll love this.
Oh, this is one of their super cheesier ones. Say what you will, though. Voice on this guy.
Oh, Michael, sweet. Good God.
Insane, yeah. I still have a Tim Gaines pick. That was thrown to me in the crowd at that concert.
I got to work with him.
I have a garage. You know, what am I going to do? I hang on to shit.
I memorized the drum pattern on this thing so well.
Hell yeah. They had amazing harmony.
Oh, yeah.
But I do have to admit, I liked Soldiers Under Command a little better when they were a little more raw. A little more raw was
Do you know what their secret was on why everything sounded so good, especially live?
I don't.
They doubled everything.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
So, you know, vocals, Michael had two faders for it. Everybody had two of everything. That's why it sounded so full. And it was just, you know, like going, how in the hell are they doing that line? They got to be using backtracks or something. And no, they weren't. They were all just doubled and everything.
And then eventually they had an album, Against the Law, right? Which so they gave up the Jesus thing.
Yeah, I have
I don't know
that
if they're
one.
Back in it now or what. I don't know where they are. But
well, I had a friend of mine when I used to work at Knott's Berry Farm where Robert, the drummer, Robert Sweet, was in the same car club as she was.
Oh, what?
And it was here in Downey. You know, so because they're local boys too, basically.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they're local boys gone good, kind of, sort of, maybe, or always been good. But Robert was in the same car club, so he was always down there and everything. So got to know him briefly, you know, for a little bit and everything. But yeah, Stryper was cool.
I'd see them again. I saw him twice back when I was a kid. So.
Yeah, fun.
That was a big deal show for me, and then. I got my Ecto One. Do you know I bought an Ecto One, like the blue, the Ghostbusters car,
like the actual.
I bought a full size
No.
1993 Cadillac Fleetwood hearse, customized to be an Ecto-1. It's based on the 2016 design from the female, the Paul Feig Ghostbusters.
Okay.
So it's red, and it's more square. It's front. It's not quite like the old,
right.
old one, but it looks great for the new design.
Uh-huh.
And I needed to get it smog checked, and it passed. A 93, I was like, no way, I'm going to have to buy a whole new catalytic converter, but it passed. So
that's
I'm off
great.
To get that thing ready to go for the Halloween season.
Now, were you going to go to help get all the other parts to make it look like Ecto-1?
No, that's the thing. I bought it from a guy who does like decorations for a living.
Uh-huh.
So he'll decorate like Kendall Jenner's birthday party or whatever. So he had a Ghostbusters package he went out with. So it's already done. It's a ghost, but it is. I have it already, and it's full done, designed all the crap on the top, and it came with.
Can
a
I be Egon this Halloween?
You can, because I have like five. You know, jumpsuits.
Dude,
I
got proton
packs.
I am so there.
I got 15-foot inflatables and he used to set all that stuff up at a party, and he retired it all because he moved on to Nightmare Before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, well, I'll buy the car. So I did. And it came with a lot of that stuff also packed in there. Little slimers you can set up that fly around.
Oh, that's so totally cool.
Yeah. So is it news? I don't know, but like it's been such a struggle to like get that thing registered, transferred over. It's like there was a lot of trips to the DMV, and then the last one would be the smog check, and so I'm like, please just pass, and it did. So I can go get it all set up, and then it's on. Then Comic Cons, auto shows, charity events, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so many things that you can do with that, and
yeah,
absolutely. It's so funny because. If you guys don't know, and our relationship with Paul was married to Karen Volpe for how many years?
It would have been 23.
23 years? Yeah. Okay. And unfortunately, Karen passed away due to cancer. But her biggest movie was Ghostbusters.
And so then a friend of mine sent me something on Craigslist that said, hey, this is for sale. And I went, dude. Not when I just got an inheritance. Because I'll do dumb shit with that inheritance. And Karen was whispered in my ear, like, come on, it'll be fun. So I'm like, all right. So I bought that, bought a hot tub, bought a projector for outdoor movies. Then I invested the rest. But I had to do the stupid, you know, the dumb purchases first. And again,
the
like
fun.
I said, Karen whispered in my ear on that one. So
yeah, no. And that movie was such a big deal for her. And of course, you know, with Bill Murray and so forth and everything.
Yeah.
And because she was going through something at the time, and that made her laugh and everything and so forth. And, of course, it's just become a symbolic thing for you as another individual, you know, because of Karen. There's not a day that goes by that if I'm not in a Target or something and I'm walking through the toy section and I see a Ghostbusters something, you know, I'm going, I wonder if Paul has that. Yeah, he probably does, whatever, you know.
You're not the only one. No. And
yeah.
There's a Facebook page dedicated to all things that Karen loved.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Karen's Army.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So if you just are down, go there. It'll be something about dogs, something about Ghostbusters, something about Bill Murray, something about Lyle Lovett.
Something about dogs, something about Bill Murray, something about Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of people are posting, have you seen this? You know, the Funko I have on my shelf. Yeah,
exactly.
I love you, but I have it.
Exactly. But there's not a time that doesn't go by where I'm in a toy store or something or the toy section, and I see a Ghostbuster going, do I get it? Do I not get it for Paul? Do I get it? Do I not get it for Paul?
Well, Karen, mission accomplished.
Yeah, maybe so I'll just take a picture instead and go, do you have it? You know, and go, yeah, got five, you know.
Yeah, which I don't mind. I do have like five of the Bill Murray candles, you know, where he looks like he's the Virgin Mary or something.
Right.
Sacred Heart Bill or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, too good, though. Too good. So, cool. And the rest of the week, was it pretty good?
Yeah, I saw Free Guy. I'll report on that next week.
Okay.
So I'll do a movie report next. But I'll tell you now, go see that movie. That movie's the best movie of the summer.
I've been hearing the reviews.
It's so super fun.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as summer movies go, just fun, good message, funny, tons of funny. Ryan Reynolds, top of his game, you know, just in terms of, like, playing a cheese bag, but then having a little heart underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just great, man.
We got to watch, was it The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard?
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. So. I never saw the first one, so I missed the second.
Karen,
I'll have to do a double on that.
It's funny because my wife, Karen, sometimes there are movies that surprise me that she will love, and it'll crack her up. So The Hitman's Bodyguard, she just absolutely loved it. And so she was waiting to see the second one, so we finally watched it. And she was just cracking up left and right. Really good. It kind of picks up, I think, where the last one left off, basically. And then we also watched Black Widow.
Oh, I saw that twice. Yeah, that's great.
So, and I thought that was a little interesting to give us the background of her, but to include that in today, but where it's it takes place during, I guess, what, Civil War kind of a thing? Because
Somewhere in there. She's about to go, I think, try and bridge the gap between Tony and Cap.
Exactly.
Clearly it doesn't work. And she's dead.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure, this will be where they,
Yeah, and of course they do talk about it at the end and everything. And then, I guess, was it the lady who's supposed to claim to be her mother or whatever, then shows her, well, here's the guy responsible.
Is that her mother? That's the chick from Julie Louis-Dreyfus plays that character. I'm still confused as to what that character is. We showed up in Falcon and Winter Soldier, and I think maybe even not supposed to know who she is. I think if you read the comics, you know who she is, and you're all excited. But her whole storyline will reveal itself. But we'll get Yelena probably in the Hawkeye TV series,
and then it shows a picture of Hawkeye going, "He's to blame." It's like, really? That's where you're gonna go with this? It's like, okay, all right, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Her best friend. Yeah. That'll all have to come out in the wash.
Yeah. So, but that was our week. Was kind of like watching some of the movies. Watch Jungle Cruise. I thought that was really good.
I wish there was more Jungle Cruising. You know, like when it turned Pirates of the Caribbean, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that was my thing too. I was like, going, okay. Mm-hmm.
Like my favorite action sequence was their open one, and where she's trying to steal the artifact from the museum, and then when a submarine chased the boat through the harbor, I thought that was great. And then later on, when it was just CGI stuff, I was like, meh.
When it kind of got into, like I said, when it turned into a Pirates Caribbean kind of thing, I'm like going, okay, but it still kind of works, though. We've seen it before, but it still kind of works in the aspect. I do love the way Dwayne Johnson, though, just delivered all the bad jokes at the beginning, though. Yeah. You know, and I know there's a lot of friends of mine who've worked that attraction at Disneyland going, I did a pretty good job of doing that. Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to Carl.
Yeah, exactly. Who's doing it again, you know? And
he went to the premiere. That would have been fun. They brought all the skippers to the premiere.
Oh, did
I guess the premiere was at the park. So,
That's cool. So, but so it was movie week for us here.
That's your week. Loafing around watching movies. All right.
Every night watching movies and stuff. Yeah. So, but that, and then just dealing with the aftermath of the whole Trini Lopez tribute thing. So
yeah, that was a great video.
Yeah, that was fun.
How did you get called to do that?
Basically, well, what happened was...
And Sean went to Vegas. I don't know if people are listening to do a Trini Lopez tribute show.
Yeah, and last week we actually replayed the interview we did with Trini.
Oh, there you go.
So in honor of that, because I had just gotten back. So, what happened was that we interviewed Trini Lopez. Here's the freaky part. So I sent a message because I found him on Facebook, believe it or not. I'm going, no way. No way. This has got to be some mistake or whatever. No, it was him. It's just that his assistant, Aurelie, is the one who does most of the responding and correlating with it and everything. So I asked, and she responded, and she says, sure, let me talk to him. He agreed. The only thing is that he can't do a morning thing because he doesn't get up until 11 or noon. That was his thing.
Respect again.
Yeah. And I mean, he would stay up till like 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and then go to bed. Yeah. Basically, that was his lifestyle. So we had to do it at night. And we did it on a Friday night. That was August 10th of 2018. And so we had to pre-record the interview. And then the next day, August 11th, which was that Saturday, 2018, we aired the interview. 2 years to the date is when he passed away.
Mm-hmm. So you're to blame?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently, exactly. Don't come on the show.
Oh, crap. Yeah. Okay, let's start my clock.
You got 2 years.
I got 2 years.
You got 2 years. And I didn't realize that until recently because Joe Chavera, who is the gentleman who did the concert, was Trini's writing partner. Trini, of course, his career mostly was doing cover songs. 80 albums, that's pretty much what he did. Everything from English songs to Spanish songs and so forth. He never wrote anything himself. So about 6 years ago, 6-7 years ago, he meets Joe Chavera, and Cheney seemed a little bit impressed with the guy's talent and everything. And I said, well, why don't we kind of get together and do something? So Joe started to show Trini all these songs that he wrote and everything. And Trini goes, oh, yeah, well, let's do that. Let's maybe write some stuff together and so forth. The majority of the songs were something that Joe had already written. Trini maybe changed things here and there or whatever. So they both get writing credit. And so that's the album there, Trini Lopez, All Original Songs. And Trini sent that to me. And then that's a letter that he sent after being on the show. And so
wow.
I afterwards when and then Trini passes on August 11th, 2020. And so, you know, Steve and I, we kind of got to know him behind the scenes, too, because I would call every so often, talk to Trini, talk to Aurelie and so forth and say, hey, we want to set up another interview. We want to set up another interview because my personal goal was to do another interview with Trini at his home in Palm Springs. And just so I could sit down with a guitar and say, I got to play with Trini Lopez, you know.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been cool. So, and of course, COVID came in, never happened. Trini passes due to COVID. And so now it's a year later. And Joe and I then developed the relationship because that weekend, because I think Trini died on a Wednesday, I think it was, or Thursday. And I called up Joe and asked him if he would want to be on the show. And I said, if it's too soon for you personally, let me know. That's totally fine. He goes, no, no, I'd love to come on. So Joe came on, talked about his relationship with Trini and everything. And then off the air, he and I developed our own relationship together. And so when it came time to do this show in Vegas, he calls me up and says, so you play a couple of different instruments, right? Yeah. Great, great. Okay, so I think what I'm going to do is have you play piano. And basically, you know, the song's pretty easy. It goes from, you know, a D minor to a B flat to a C. And he kind of goes like this, and he plays it to me over the phone. And I walk over to my son's room because my piano's in there. And I kind of mimic what Joe's doing. I said, oh, okay. He goes, yeah, yeah, you've got it. All right, cool. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, he wants me to record it and then send it to him or something. That's what I was thinking. And as the conversation's going on, it's like, oh, you're talking for the show and everything. So he really didn't even ask, per se.
He didn't lead with that. That's odd.
You know, yeah. And then he goes, well, then you play guitar too, right? And I said, well, yeah. He goes, well, great. Well, bring your guitar and then you'll play on If I Had a Hammer. Okay, great. And so, you know, prep this whole month, whatever. Well, when it came time to the actual show and everything, changes went awry for rehearsal, whatever, because we had a really bad sound guy. And it's really stressed Joe out an awful lot. And then, so I didn't even get to do what he wanted me to do. And instead, he decided just to showcase me and goes, just give me one of your songs or whatever, you know, and I'll showcase you that like that. And I said, okay, cool. So
you did.
So I did the song called Affection, and kind of tied in the story of how we met Trini through the show, and you know, and I said something to the fact of that it doesn't matter because we asked Trini in the interview, how does he want to be remembered when the big man finally does call him, and he kind of got choked up and said, well, I want to be remembered as a nice guy. I'm like, damn, you know, that's pretty humbling right there. You know, not about my music or this or whatever.
The greatest guitarist who ever lived.
Yeah. Or I want to remember for my guitars or that I designed for Gibson or whatever. No, I just want to remember to being a nice guy. I'm like, damn, okay. And I said, it doesn't matter how big of a celebrity you are. We all crave affection no matter what. And I said, in this year of, you know, these last years of COVID and everything, it's been hard for us to give a hug, to give a handshake, whatever. I said, we all crave that physical touch, that physical affection, no matter what. You know, so I told everybody, you know, I know stuff, but go out and give a hug today.
What kind of crowd was there?
It was over at the Rockstar in Vegas, which is a little bar place mixed in with, you'll love it because they have golf there. And the golfers were walking by. through rehearsal and everything. But it's a neat little venue, you know, small stage, but a neat little venue. And we had a full house. We had a packed house.
So it was a couple hundred people? Or
probably about maybe like 150, 150, 200 people were there, including Trini's family, which was great.
Worth the drive.
Yeah.
It's so hard to get. We were just talking before the show about how hard it is to get people to come out to
the
thing.
Yeah, and they flew in from Dallas. So, but no, it was a great overall. I mean, Joe did a great job, and we had fun, and he showcased me and everything. So I was very honored to get pulled into that, though.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so it was fun. It was definitely fun. So, oh, you know, one thing we got to do for sure right now, and we're a little bit behind on this, though, we have a sponsor to talk about.
Oh, do they have, oh, is there music?
There is.
Oh.
Look at that.
Production value.
It's gone up. Yes. Well, anyway, you guys know with all things starting to open up slowly here, it seems that businesses everywhere will be needing some new signs.
Well, not just businesses, but how about bands needing new merch? Companies needing new canopies for conventions? Dogs and cats living together? Mass hysteria.
Well, there's only... I can't even read because my eyes are watering up right now. Well, where does one go for printing merchandise? Simply go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Stranger Prints is the official merchandise printer for Your Weekly Dose. They do all of our t-shirts we give away, but that's not all they do.
No, they do so much more, like table covers, canopies, graduation signs and banners, regular banners, stickers, slip mats for DJs, backdrops, sports jerseys, and more.
So for all of your printing needs for merchandise, go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Yep, just go to StrangerPrints.com for more information and prices.
That's StrangerPrints.com and tell them Your Daily Shot sent you. Is that what it was it again?
Your Weekly Dose.
Your Weekly Dose sent you this. Stranger Prints.
Because damn it, we did. Ah, too funny.
Stranger Prints.
I like it. That's kind of that actually works, dude. Oh, well, you know what? We've got some fun facts here for you because it was today is actual National Honeybee Day.
It is.
It is.
You know, my friend Callista and I did back in 2015, I think, we did a full year of celebrating every national day. And even if it was just like Make a New Friend Day, we'd like go on Facebook and
make a new friend.
Make a friend of a friend. Or see if it was, even if it was that simple or something really complicated, like, you know, we made a whole pie or something for whatever national pets. We celebrated every single one for a year, and I was pretty impressed with this. And today is National Honeybee Day specifically?
Yeah.
All right.
So we got some honeybee facts for you there.
Do I?
You do.
Okay.
And, of course, we got some background music for you.
Sean, did you know? Only female honeybees can sting. The males, known as drones, are not able to sting, but if you are stung, it will probably be by a worker. A worker bee going postal.
There you go.
If the queen honeybee is removed from the hive, within 15 minutes, the rest of the colony knows about it.
Hey, that's better than the internet.
Must be.
15 minutes? Wow.
Must be where the term busy bee comes from. Drones, I mentioned, are the male honeybees. They die after mating.
Well, that's kind of sick. That's kind of like being like a praying mantis, the wife of a, or a husband of a praying mantis.
Well, they just figure, I've peaked. Is
yeah.
it going to get any better than this?
Yeah, exactly.
honeybees communicate through pheromones passed on through feeding.
That I did not know.
Can you imagine if Americans could communicate through feeding?
Or pheromones?
Yeah, well, my God, we'd be the most communicative country in the world. Honeybees fly up to 15 miles per hour and beat their wings 200 times per second, or 12,000 beats per minute.
Wow. I wonder who's faster, though, a bee or a hummingbird?
Whenever National Hummingbird Day is.
We'll find out.
We'll get back to you.
Yeah.
The honeybee is the only insect that produces a food eaten by man. So I'm the only one eating fly shit. Okay.
There you go.
Honeybees account for nearly 80% of crop pollination in the United States of America. Now, that fact's interesting because they account for 80% of crop... What's the other 20? I thought bees were the only ones doing. There's another 20% of some, I guess, wind?
Or other bees? Wind. Wind can work.
Oh, other bees besides honeybees?
Yeah, because you got, like, the bumblebees.
Oh, this is honeybee day.
But this is honey.
So there are other bees.
Ah, see.
I think I'd drop into science.
Yeah.
Like Galileo dropped the orange. Honeybees have been trained to act as bomb detectors. Scientists have trained honeybees to react to minute amounts of chemicals found in explosives.
No shit, wow.
This was all documented in The Hive Locker. Did you ever see that movie, The Hive Locker?
No. Is it good?
First of all, you can train bees? You can't train cats. I don't know how you can train bees.
Well, if you can have a flea circus, why not, you know?
Can you, Sean?
Yeah.
Honeybees can be trained to... Honeybees can be trained to detect illness in humans.
Where was this?
Like, I don't know. I guess they just go, yeah, he's got a bee sting. The ancient Egyptians and other civilizations used honey as food and medicine. Not too weird. It was also used in offerings and for embalming the dead. Okay, that part's weird. Beeswax was used in magic rites for preserving and also in medicine. First of all, there are bees in Egypt?
Yeah. They actually, proven fact.
Uh-huh. It has to be for it to be a fact.
Well, there's a sex history museum, and apparently...
You've been there?
Yeah.
Because, of course, yeah.
They would put bees in these, like, dildo-ish type of clay things, and they would use that as a vibrator because the bees would buzz inside.
Wow.
Yeah. So I can... Yeah, so bees have been in Egypt for quite some time. Yes.
Wow. There is nothing to do in the desert.
No. There's... No, no.
I just didn't think... I thought you had to have, like, a lush area for bees to exist. I don't think you could live in, like, a hot, arid desert.
Well, I think bees are also dealing with the climate. I think on how they produce the honey and everything has to do with the weather over all the temperature, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. It also may have been lush there once, but, you know.
True. Very
hashtag
true.
Climate change.
Yeah.
Hashtag it's too late.
Yeah.
And finally, when the fictional character Sherlock Holmes retired to the Sussex Downs in England, he became a beekeeper.
Wow.
They did what they left out is he still solved bee crimes. But that's what he became. And that's your honeybee.
There you go.
Fun facts.
Fun facts.
I insist all my facts be fun.
Yes, absolutely. Have you ever tried bee pollen, though?
Like just a chunk of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Supposedly...
The kind of stuff that like a... I don't know. What do you mean a pollen?
Okay, so...
Pollen's like the little... it's like a... What is it? Sean, tell me. Let me interrupt again.
What it is it's like the stuff that gets stuck to the legs of the bee, the pollen itself, whatever, and they actually take back to the hive. And so in there was a fellow that was our neighbor from my mom's... He lived across the street from my mom. That he opened up a little store where they would have raw honey, and because he hooked up with this bee guy, basically, and they would harvest the honey, they would make candles out of the beeswax, and then take the pollen, and found out the pollen itself has a lot of healthy attributes, basically. And so he would sell the pollen in these jars kind of a thing. And you take like a teaspoon of it a day or something like that, whatever, and kind of act as a dietary supplement.
I've never had that.
Yeah, it was really interesting. You know, and we're going, okay, all right, you know. And you put it in your mouth and it turned into this pasty kind of a thing, or you know. But supposedly, yeah, it was like good for your health kind of a thing.
I like the bear who doesn't give a shit that there's like 1,000 bees in his face and just reaches in and cracks off a piece of the hive and just goes eating the comb and the honey and all that stuff and probably getting stung 50 times. But he's like, I don't feel it. Tastes good.
I like watching the bears when they're in the middle of the river and they're just watching all the salmon fly by them. And they can't. Like,
yeah,
there goes another one. There goes another one. Oh, there's another one there, too. Oh, okay. All right. Whatever. Well, yesterday was also National Radio Day.
Oh.
So I thought we'd kind of...
Radio, someone still loves you.
Hopefully, yes, exactly, despite what's been going on with radio. So I've got this cool little thing here. It's a brief history of radio. And this kind of mainly covers the glory, what they call the glory days of radio, which kind of goes from the early 30s to about 47, 49, somewhere in there, because that's where TV kind of started to creep in a little bit. And, of course, everybody stopped turning off their radio and turning on their TVs. So,
right. We're curious how unattractive these radio people are. And that's what they wanted to see.
But some of them actually transferred over very well, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, some.
You know, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
You know, so, and we're going to learn about some of those now. So let's take a quick listen.
Let's talk about radio.
Okay.
Radio was first introduced commercially around 1910. There were no circuits, no internet. There were just glass-covered vacuum tubes, wires, dials, and a speaker. Radio changed the American landscape and unified the nation.
The President of the United States. 5 years of fierce discussion.
The concepts of many new television shows that you see today were created for radio about 70 years ago. All the singing talent shows you see are offshoots of radio's Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts.
Here they are, ladies and gentlemen, the Drifters.
He's just a sentimental gentleman from Georgia.
And Major Bowe's original Amateur Hour.
Now, the first on the program is our original one-man band. What do you do in your spare moments?
I am a spoonist, sir.
A spoonist? Good luck to you.
Radio had quiz shows like 20 Questions, The Whiz Kids.
And here they are, the Quiz Kids, your own chief quizzer, Joe Kelly.
Well, speaking of battles, we have a real one lined up for you today, friends.
Quick as a flash.
Quick as a flash. Time to wind up your mind with Hell Bros.
You bet your life.
The DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America present Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here he is, the one, the only...
What a ham.
Oh, that's me, Groucho Marx.
Radio had daytime serials or soap operas because most of the sponsors were soap companies. Women tune into the problems of Mar Perkins, young Widder Brown, Pepper Young's family, Mary Noble, backstage wife, and young Dr. Malone, just to mention a few. Radio had talk shows with prominent people of the day discussing important events.
It's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the flames rising to the ground, not quite to the mooring mass. All the humanity and all the...
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
America went to war.
Radio broadcast play-by-play football and baseball games and broadcast boxing matches. Acclaimed announcer is Graham McNamee.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the radio audience. This afternoon, behind
and Bill
the mic,
Stern did many of the games.
Now, Matt Davis. Davis is fading back. Throwing every pass. Look at every pass out of the goal. And intercepted by Notre Dame.
Radio also had news shows by famous broadcasters such as Walter Winchell. Gabriel Heater, H.V. Kaltenborn, Eric Severide, and Walter Cronkite. The golden age of radio ran from about 1936 or 37 to around 1947. Radio had comedy shows like The Jack Benny Show.
Jackson, yeah, look, Mary, you don't have to make any outside dates. While we're in New York, I'm going to take you around.
Oh, sure. Just like last year. Before we left California, you said, Mary, when we get to New York, I'm really going to show you the town.
Well, I did, didn't I?
Yeah, from the top of the Empire State Building.
Well, they don't let you up there for nothing, sister.
The Fred Allen Show.
Tell me, Mr. Moody, what are your feelings about the radio?
I don't hold with it, Bub.
It displeases you?
I don't hold with furniture that talks.
Well, you have a radio.
No, I had one in the hen house.
Yeah?
One day, all the hen's nest would be empty.
Uh-huh.
Next day, every nest would have two eggs into it.
You mean?
The hens were listening to Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
The Red Skelton Show, the Bob Hope Show.
But I really had a wonderful trip. Wherever I went, the soldiers toasted me, and now I'm back. A guy can stand getting hot foot for just so long, you know. You know, the weather down there is like it is here. Of course, they have a light sprinkle now and then. Light sprinkle, that's South Pacific. For man, the boat's boys, the island disappeared again.
Radio had drama and mystery shows like Mr. District Attorney, Gangbusters, Nick Carter, Master Detective, Suspense, Lights Out, Inner Sanctum, and The Shadow. played by Brett Morrison. And Radiohead children's shows like The Lone Ranger with Brace Beamer as Radio's Lone Ranger.
A fiery horse with a speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, The Lone Ranger.
Superman with Bud Collyer as the Man of Steel.
The Adventures of Superman, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. Tall buildings in a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman.
And the Tom-Mix Ralston Straight Shooters with Curly Bradley as Radio's Tom-Mix.
Here comes Tom-Mix, America's favorite cowboy, with another throwback Western adventure program. Up to me, come on, boy.
So with all these things that we're hearing, you know, going back to the 30s, the 40s, the 50s even and everything, how much was radio part of your life, Paul?
My dad was a huge golden era of radio guy. Mm-hmm. So I had those albums around my house. Like my brother, thankfully I could tap my brother's record collection for America, Beatles, Beach Boys, Doobies. Uh-huh. But my dad was like golden age of, and then, you know, he was thrilled that one day he could take all his albums and record them on a cassette. So then he had all everything on cassette, you know, but he loved, and they damn well have better have mentioned Fred Allen, because that guy was hilarious.
Yeah,
Jack Benny, Ed Wynn, Ernie Kovacs, you know, all these guys, you know, my dad loved them all. So yeah, I heard that stuff a lot. You know, Red Skelton was my dad's favorite. That'd be the one he'd just be lying on the floor laughing.
For me, it was somewhat similar because I always remember going in to Movie Land Wax Museum, and that doesn't exist anymore, but here in Buena Park. And there were so many great exhibits or whatever in of different scenes from different movies or whatever, but the one I could just stay there all day and listen to over and over and over again was the wax figures of Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, listening to their 1938 Who's On First routine. You know, I grew up with that. And, of course, grew up with the movies that they did in the 50s and everything. But to hear it on radio was just something spectacular, you know. And for me, I, like you, my parents, you know, they're the ones that grew up with that golden age of radio. Pass it on to me as well. But even in the 70s, growing up here in the LA area, we had certain disc jockeys that my mom or my dad would listen to. Robert W. Morgan, Sonny Melendrez, the Wolfman.
We had Joe Campbell in Oneonta, New York. But
yeah. And I just said, you know, mention those people too, because. Yeah.
And then my dad would listen to Paul Harvey too.
Yeah, and those were also important people, I think, to radio in the respective areas, because that's what it was about. It was about the DJ and what they were doing or what they were talking about, the morning shows or whatever, you know. And it's changed so much. And, of course, you know, I'm sure you probably did it with your dad, but listening to certain baseball games or football games on the radio and getting excited or whatever, you know. Sometimes like, hey, you hungry? Yeah, okay, well, the game's on, though. Well, all right, well, why don't we just listen to it or whatever, and we'll go to McDonald's or whatever. And then we just go with, or sit somewhere or go to In-N-Out and just sit there eating the hamburgers in the car, listening to the game, you know, and then something exciting happens or whatever, and, you know, the fries go everywhere in the car, you know.
We did that occasionally because my parents would have season tickets for the Oneonta Yankees, the Oneonta, my hometown. They were the farm team for the Yanks. It was like three tiers down. Mm-hmm. From there, you'd go to a minor league.
Probably single A then.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, we didn't have the Yankee games were on television, but the local games would be on the radio. So when my parents couldn't make it down to the park to sit and watch, they would listen to, that's the game we would listen to, is the local game. And now that I think about it, I mentioned Joe Campbell, but he was on the air not doing his own show, but he was doing a show of oldies radio. That's what my dad loved him. It's like, let me guide you through all these classic eras and classic episodes of old-time TV shows, you know, with George Jessel and that kind of stuff. So,
And I love hearing some of just the old broadcasts too, and some of the old commercials, you know, especially, you know, because back then they didn't know what the harm was cigarettes or whatever. And, you know, you hear, you know, the 3 out of 4 doctors recommend Campbell's cigarettes, you know, kind of a thing. And, and that just cracked me up, you know. But yeah, it's just kind of cool to hear. And it was truly theater of the mind, you know, and half the time, too, you had a live audience in the studio with them, too. You know, whether it was, you know, a regular show or a musical show, or it was, I said, Abbott and Costello performing or whatever, or Bob Hope. It didn't matter. You know, you had a live audience there, too, you know. So, I mean, I could only imagine what it was like. And thank God we have those preserved on, you know, certain things now that we can go in and re-listen to them. And if you haven't, expose your kids to old-time radio. You really need to. You really need to, because it's so cool to hear. And
yeah, look how good Sean and I turned out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know.
As far as you know.
And what's funny, though, is that I think we're the last generation that can relate to those because of our parents.
Yeah.
You know, we're in our 50s, and early 50s, that is. But we're, you know, we do have these memories because of our folks. Because our folks grew up with that and everything. And but like I said, and then we have our own DJs that we grew up with and everything. And
are you sharing that with your son?
Yes, I did, because I got him into Abbott Costello like my dad did with me and everything. And so, matter of fact, in my garage, I finally transferred all of them over to MP3s, certain broadcasts of different shows, whether it's like the Jack Benny Show, Duffy's Tavern, Abbott Costello. And it's the full show, so it's got the commercials in it, it's got the singing guests in it and everything, you know. And then it goes back to the adventures of Abbott and Costello or something, you know. And then they're going to Alaska, you know, or something. And, you know, and then, oh, the Andrews Sisters are here, and the Andrews Sisters come on and sing or something, you know. And it's really cool to listen to, you know, some of that. And when I was probably my son's age, and he's 16 right now, he'll be 17 in October, I would take those cassettes and fall asleep to them, which I'm sure many people did back, probably back in the day or something, you know, of just sitting there listening to the old radio shows while they were, you know, doing them live or something or whatever, and just fall asleep to it. It was, to me, it was like some of the greatest things, you know, I can remember as a young kid. So, and speaking of being a young kid, I want to share something with you, Paul, too, which is, my favorite routine, and I mentioned it several times, but...
Oh, will everyone else get to hear it as well?
Yes.
Oh, what a treat.
They will. It's going to be a treat. So let's take you back now to 1938 and the original recording of Abbott and Costello doing their famous Who's On First.
Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bucky Harris, the Yanks manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then I'll know who's playing on the team.
Oh, I'll tell you their names, but you know, strange it may seem, they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Strange names, pet names, like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
And their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean, oh, I see. Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Oh, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name?
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first base.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the
That's
money.
That's it.
Who gets the money on
he
first
base? He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. That.
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to the
Who?
Contract? The guy.
Who?
How does he sign his
That's
name?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
No, what is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Well, don't change the players.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
name on first base.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Oh, he's on third. We're not talking about him. Now, let's begin.
How did I get on third base?
Why, you mentioned his name.
If I mention a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go, back on third again. Will you stay on third base and don't go off it?
All right, I don't even know.
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
What is on second?
You don't want who on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know. Third base! Look, you got outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not. Stay out of the infield! I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base! And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field.
He is center field. Look, you got a pitcher on the team.
Sure.
The pitcher's name.
Tamara.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you,
then
man.
Go ahead.
Tamara.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow you're going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Got a catcher?
Certainly.
The catcher's name.
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitcher.
Now you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the team. Catcher too.
So they tell me.
I get behind the plate, do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yes.
Now the heavy hitter bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out of first base. So I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
That's all you have to do.
Just to throw the ball at first base.
Yes.
Now who's got it?
Naturally.
Look, if I throw the ball at first base, somebody's got to get it. Now who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No, you don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's different.
That's what I said.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw it to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
Listen, you ask me.
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's
same
it.
As you.
Don't change him around.
Same as you.
Go ahead, now get it over.
I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs a second.
Yes.
Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to? I don't know. I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a darn.
What?
I said I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I mean, come on.
Oh, so good to listen to that, though, man.
Classic.
It is. It's just totally classic. You know. And again, go out, find these things, whether it be on YouTube or whatever, or on CDs. Just look up old radio classics like that. And it's just so good. And you understand where I think some of the even great comics of today kind of get their humor from.
Oh, Kelsey Grammer definitely says Jack Benny's his influence.
Same thing with Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
I mean, Benny was a huge influence on Carson and stole a lot of Benny's things, like the pauses that he would do. putting the hand on the side of his face or whatever, you know. And that was just like, oof, boy, you know, amazing though. But did a great job. Let's see what else we got. Oh, you know what? I forgot to talk about this earlier though. Or did we talk about Tom T. Hall?
Yeah, I don't believe he did.
We did talk about Tom?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
So recently, if you guys don't know who this person is, go out, find out who he is, look him up, pick up his music. It is absolutely amazing. Country singer, unfortunately, Tom T. Hall passed away this Thursday or Friday. Tom T. Hall was a singer-songwriter who sang about life's simple joys as country music's consummate blue-collar bard. He was 85 years old. His son Dean confirmed that the musician's death on Friday at his home in Franklin, Tennessee. And he was known as the storyteller for his unadorned yet incisive lyrics. Hall composed hundreds of songs, and he helped usher in the literary era of country music in the early 70s with songs some of his songs were political, like Watergate Blues, The Monkey That Became the President, and deeply personally, like, The Year Clinton Delaney died. One of his biggest hits, though, I got to pull this up again, though, actually turned into a movie. And that was this song here.
Mama, She said, Mama, got a note here from the Harper Valley PTA. Well, the note said, Mrs. Johnson, you're wearing your dress is way too high. It's reported you've been drinking and running around with men and going wild.
So of course, this is the famous song, Harper Valley PTA, which basically is a kind of a letter, whatever the woman kind of responds to about people, the way she dresses and looks and everything. And it's like, you know, here's a big old finger to you kind of a thing.
23 million views, so it's still relevant.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then this was aired in 2008, so that goes from then. Hall began playing bluegrass music. When he was a young boy, he was the fourth son of an ordained minister born near Orville Hill, Kentucky, in a log cabin built by his grandfather. He started playing guitar at the age of four and wrote his first song by the time that he was nine. He settled in Nashville in 1964, was established himself as a songwriter, making $50 a week. He wrote songs for Jimmy C. Newman, David Dudley, and John Wright. He had so many songs that he started recording them himself. And, of course, his breakthrough song was this one.
Oh, good, because I haven't heard of any of those other people.
Yeah. You know, it's surprisingly, you go through his catalog, and I started to do this, and, like, there were so many I didn't know, but there were so many that I could kind of relate to. And it was really interesting. And I actually discovered Tom T. Hall through a TV show called The Newsroom, starring Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, yeah. Great show.
And it was the last, or close to the last episode, and where they played his song. And of course, the main guy who was the news executive passes away due to a heart attack. But his son learns a Tom T. Hall song, and they play it. And I just thought the song was just amazing. Never heard of it, and I didn't know who Tom was. And where I kind of put it on Facebook and everything, and I was blown away. And I had another friend of mine, Stephen McClintock, who is from Texas, and goes, oh, yeah. I goes, I grew up with Tom T. Hall. And I'm just going, holy crap. You know, where in the hell am I being a musician that I should know this guy? I mean, he's a living legend kind of a thing. And that was my dive into listening to Tom and his music and some of the things that he's done and everything. And so I went in, and for my last studio album that I did, I went in and did his song on called How I Got to Memphis.
Hmm.
So I'm going to play a little bit of that for you here.
Please.
That's how I got to Memphis. If you love somebody enough, you go where your heart wants to go. That's how I got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis. You've seen her, you tell me, 'cause you are my friend. But I've got to find her and find out the trouble she's in. If you tell me that she's not here, I'll follow the trail of her tears. That's how it got to Memphis. That's how I got to Memphis.
So there you go, just a little sample.
So that's your arrangement, or were the harmonies in the original song?
Yeah, that's my arrangement of that song.
I like those harmonies.
So thank you.
And it's like Aaron Sorkin, isn't it, to dive deep and go with a Tom T. Hall song as opposed
it
to
is.
Something more mainstream?
Yeah.
The guy's so smart.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It is. See, I tie everything into you, brother. I tie everything into you. But, yeah, and that was my introduction to Tom T. Hall, and I just became a fan of his ever since. And, Yeah, some of his songs were kind of way out there, you know, but some of them, you know, they were just so heartfelt like that.
Yeah.
And tell a really good story, you know, and everything. And I'm just like, oh, I got to record I got to cover the song. I've got to cover it. It's so good, you know. So he's definitely going to be missed within the country music community, Tom T. Hall. So passed away at 85. All right, buddy, I want to do something with you.
Yes.
That I thought would be kind of fun with this whole thing here. So,
good.
Yeah.
I came all the way down here, Sean.
Yes.
Let's do something fun before the show's over.
Yeah, exactly. Just for this. All right. So, of course, a lot of leading men would think of being very tall.
That's my theme.
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, very tall, muscular, you know, these good strapping men. But, of course, Hollywood men, well, that didn't let their height stop them. So these
good
are
for them.
Yeah, so these are some of the shortest men in Hollywood.
Oh.
And so I'm going to name some of these actors here. You kind of guess how tall you think they are.
Okay.
All right. The great Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman is a short guy. He's a little guy. Big boy did it. Wow,
how tall?
Dustin, I've stood next to him.
How tall is he? He's inches. He's a number of inches.
Yeah, of course he's. Of course, got to be. I'm going to go with 5. I interviewed him once.
Really?
But I'm like 9 feet tall, so everybody's short. I'm going to go with 5'8".
Ooh, you're 2 inches off. 5'6".
5'6". Ooh, good Lord.
5'6".
Okay.
5'6".
Suits him well, though. He plays those parts well.
He does. I just got to see this man recently because we went to a taping of The Masked Singer. But Ken Jeong.
Oh, Ken Jeong jumping out the back of a car in The Hangover.
Yep.
He seems small next to Bradley Cooper. I'm going to say the same, 5'6".
You're an inch off, 5'5".
5'5"? Or we're going down.
5'5".
Spot that trend.
Well, it's going to go both ways, though.
Okay.
Ben Stiller.
I've interviewed Ben Stiller. I did a Meet the Fockers premiere. But, all right, so Ben Stiller is a little taller. I'm going to go 5'9".
Ooh, 2 inches off, 5'7".
5'7"?
Yeah.
Wow. I've always wondered if, like, I think as tall as I am, I can let myself get a little out of shape and still look okay because it has to stretch out to so many different places. Ben's been jacked in his life, you know?
Yeah.
So I wonder if that just wears better on a shorter person.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm 5'10", so, I mean, I ain't that much better, so. But,
again, short to me, but everybody is.
Exactly. Exactly.
I clock in at a cool 6'2". And that's down an inch since graduation from high school, so I don't know what happened.
What were you at?
6'3". That may have been even college, but
okay.
I'm 6'2" now, and I know my brother shrunk because he had kids. That just happens, you know? The weight of the world on your shoulders, leaning over a lot.
All right.
But for some reason, I lost an inch in there somewhere.
Okay, Al Pacino.
Al Pacino. Let's see, he's got a great ass! I've seen him, too, on after a play, he was signing autographs. He's got the tall hair, though. That'll throw you off.
Yeah, it does, because
I'm going to say he's
taller the hair
Hoffman-sized. Maybe an inch on Hoffman, 5'6". 5'7"?
5'7".
Oh, I'm always... I've gotten none of these. I am not a movie.
Well, I know that. That's why we're just having
gossip
fun with it.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know these things.
Okay.
I don't know who they're married to. I don't know any of that shit.
Dave Franco.
Ooh, Dave Franco. Much shorter than Greg Sestero, who he played in The Disaster Artist,
mm-hmm.
but still good in that film. So I'm gonna put him on the tall side though. If he had to play Greg, I'm gonna say 5. I'm gonna go back to 5'9".
I gave you a hat trick. 5'7".
Wow.
So, yeah. So, Ben Stiller, Al Pacino, Dave Franco are all 5'7".
Wow.
Yeah. All right. This one should be pretty easy.
They look tiny to me.
This one should be pretty easy. And I've met this gentleman. He literally ran into me and fell on the floor after he ran in. Michael J. Fox.
Wow. Yeah. He is not tall. 5'6". Come on. 5'6".
2 off. 5'4".
No way.
Yeah.
That's damn near a little person.
Yeah, it is. Jeez. It is, 5'4". Yeah, I was there for the filming of Back to the Future 2 when they're reshooting all the stuff at the high school again for the second time. And he literally was running late, whatever, to getting on set and runs around the corner. My brother was standing next to me and who was doing security and runs into both of us and falls flat on the ground.
And like, you're like, oh, I've
sorry.
Killed production. I've ended the franchise. Everyone in America will hate me. I killed America's sweetheart.
So we picked him up and whatever. He goes, oh, sorry, guys. I said, no, it's okay. Like this.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. So, this guy's pretty short. Everybody knows that. Joe Pesci.
See, none of these guys seem tall, except maybe Dave Franco. Dave Franco doesn't seem his height on film. Pesci,
I pictured Hoffman to be maybe like my height, 5'10".
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Pesci, I'm going 5'6 again.
He's shorter than Michael J. Fox by an inch.
Is he 5'3"?
5'3".
Good Lord.
Yep.
A lot of Spitfire in it.
Jack Black.
Jack Black. Taller than you'd think is my guess. 5'7".
Ooh, so close.
I can't get this.
5'6". 5'6". All right. Worked with Joe Pesci, Martin Scorsese. Come on, you got to get one. You got to get one.
5'5".
No, that would be Mark Anthony.
Like, I would know that.
5'3".
Marty?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You know this actor. You love this actor. You love the films that he's in.
Okay. I do. Tom Cruise. Oh. No. Who?
Yeah. Is okay. Tom.
Tom?
I got Tom on here. How tall do you think Tom is?
Tom's Mr. Applebox, I think. Right?
Yeah. That's tech talk, folks.
He's a set him on a box so he can look tall next to his leading lady. Tom Cruise, 5'6". 7.
5'7".
Oh,
5'7".
Man.
All right. James McAvoy.
Oh, I like James McAvoy.
I know you do.
I like James McAvoy.
You want a clue?
Sure.
Same as Tom.
Oh, what did we just say he was? 5'7"?
5'7".
Hey, 5'7". I got one. I cheated. Totally cheated.
You got two. Because you got Mark Anthony. You just didn't know you got Mark Anthony.
I give you a number and you tell me who it is. That's how I win?
Yeah. There you go. All right. Daniel Radcliffe.
Okay. Daniel Radcliffe, not a tall guy. I would say...
I didn't realize that. I thought he was a little taller than what he actually is.
Low angle camera shots.
Yeah. And it's tough because we've actually witnessed this kid grow up on film.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, because compared to the other actors...
He had to grow some point.
Yeah, and compared to the other actors, I'm like, okay, he's probably about just as tall as them, you know, and he's not.
He's 5'6".
Oh, close. 5'5". 5'5".
I'll admit I'm proud to not be good at this.
Which is great, yeah. Okay, two more. Zac Efron.
I've shot an audition tape for Zac Efron. He was right there in front of me. Camera was down a bit. I'm 6'2", so I'm going to say he's about 5'7". 5'8"?
5'8".
Are we approaching not short? He's the tallest of the bunch.
He's so far the tallest out of everybody here, yeah. Okay. And I could kind of see this, but I did think he was a little bit taller. Elijah Wood.
Okay, he's a hop, so...
Yeah.
I got to tag this with the end of the song. let's see. Elijah Wood. He's Frodo Baggins. He is 5'5". Oh, God.
That's 5'6". There you go. The shortest man in Hollywood.
How tall is Peter Dinklage?
I didn't get my head out. Oh, my gosh. We're out of
time.
That's
cool. See, it doesn't matter. You can be a leading man of any size.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, before we get out of here, let's do what's news.
What's news? What's a cat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's news? What's a cat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
We haven't done this for a while, so I thought I'd have Paul do a couple of these here.
What's
so.
News, you say?
What's news?
Well, and Jacob Moore is in the news in Idaho. He was already being scoped up by police and investigators for an unrelated crime when he decided the best diversion would be to call in the bomb threat to a local elementary school. There's your diversion.
Yeah, that's a good diversion.
Potentially worse crime.
Right.
Assuming the police would be forced to tend to that mess, he was planning on escaping unnoticed from his home, where police were about to make the arrest on him. So, how did it work out for the criminal mastermind? As well as it could be expected, school officials were able to simply look at the caller ID and let police know it was Moore who called them. Police confirmed the idiot was in fact the person behind the mess and made the arrest without incident. Thankfully, the school was also combed and there were no problems resulting from
the
incident.
That's good. If you were going to go buy a car right now, besides Ecto-1,
yes,
what car would you go out and buy right now?
I have a Prius. I might want to upgrade to a Tesla.
Okay. All right. Well, this young boy took his parents' car to go buy a Lamborghini.
Oh.
Yeah. So the Utah Highway Patrolman, who was conducting a traffic stop on a suspected impaired driver, instead found a 5-year-old driver seeking to purchase a Lamborghini. His story is that he left home after an argument with his mom, in which told him that she would not buy him a Lamborghini. He decided to take the car and go to California and buy one for himself. He might have not been short on the purchase amount, though, because he only had $3 in his wallet.
Genius.
Gotta give him credit, though, for, you know, at least, hey, taking the initiative to go.
I had a... You know, when I went to get the smog check for the Ecto-1, I left it across the street from the smog place with the keys in, running, just to keep it hot by the time I pulled in, because they had to finish up a smog check, pull that car out, then they'd pull me in. And I walked away from the car over to talk to the guys in the garage, and I left it running. I'm like, no one's going to steal it. I make a call. Hey, if you see an Ecto-1, you'd have to be a dummy. Yeah. You'd have to be a Florida man to pull something that stupid, and that's who our next story is about. In St. Petersburg, Florida, there's a city ordinance that requires restaurants to not freely distribute straws. Customers must request them. This makes the proliferation of trash straws, which are harmful to oceans and the environment, less readily available. Simple enough. Want a straw? You just ask. You can have one. This apparently was too much for a 40-year-old Florida man, Daniel Taylor. When he found out he had to request a straw, he decided it was in his best interest to assault a female McDonald's employee.
Oh, God, jeez.
As you can imagine, it didn't work out so well. Typically, McDonald's are reserved for people who want a quick bite to eat, not a few rounds of fists thrown into their face.
Oh, my God.
The fight was filmed, turned into a viral video, and viewed over 4 million times online.
Jeez.
And, Taylor was arrested.
That's good. Well, have you ever wanted to impersonate somebody else or say that you were somebody else when you got in trouble?
Oh, yeah.
You've done that? Well, then you can join this guy. A boozed-up man is jailed after telling police he's Jason Bourne.
Oh, see, I was going to say, I'm Sean Roberts. That's what I say when I get...
Yep, that's what most people do. Jonathan Chapman, 45 years old, was under the influence of alcohol and refused to leave the library after causing a disturbance. Police were called in and gave him and then he gave them the name that he was Jason Bourne, of course, as a character of Robert Ludlum's best-selling book series. Chapman also provided a false social security number, and of course he was taken to custody on a misdemeanor charge for resisting an officer without violence. So gotta love these criminals. Gotta say, that's a good one, you know, Jason Bourne.
Well, he's notoriously thought of in two different ways. So it may not be too good. I mean, there were plenty of people who thought Jason Bourne was a bad guy. Julius Stiles, David Strathairn. He was often shady, like Jason's up, we need to go get him, even though he's typically on our side.
Yeah.
Because he's exposing this big, awful thing we're doing. And then some people thought he was a hero. I would have gone straight Superman. People hated Superman in the latest movie, so I don't know who you pretend to be. I'll stick with Sean Roberts.
There you go. That's what's news.
What's news? What's a cat? What's news? What's a cat?
Pussycat, pussycat.
Thank you,
what's
Steve.
The news?
Steve does that all the freaking time, too. All righty, guys. Well, you know what?
I am Steve. So
that is today's show. So we do thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And thank you, Paul, for coming down.
Yes, this was a place for laughing at the things we experience in everyday life. The embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward... Oh, we did this already. Good.
Yeah, we did, brother. All righty, guys. Well, and go out and enjoy the weekend and everything. We really hope we can catch you guys next week. In the meantime, the show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose, Twitter at Instagram at Your Weekly Dose 1. And don't forget, you can listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. And also on Lime City Radio at noon Wednesday through Friday. And, of course, live every Saturday, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 10 a.m. on the West Coast. So thank you for joining us. Thank you, Paul, again for coming in, buddy. We'll see you next week.
My pleasure, and yes.
Absolutely, and Paul's got a lot of reviews for some movies next week, too. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Again, they keep coming out. Is that Hugh Jackman movie I got to see? I got to see that Aretha Franklin movie. There's a lot out there.
There's a lot out. We'll talk about it next week. Until then, guys, take care and be good to each other. Have a good one. You gave them all those old-time stars.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.